Hi, I'm Sara Lawati, and I am back with another destination for Off the Beaten Track, a segment in which I usually take you on a little adventure to the strangest, most peculiar corners of the world. But today I'm feeling festive and sniffly because 'tis the season to be jolly and have a cold. So we're switching things up a little. Buckle up your reindeers and get on your sleighs because we're going on a good-spirited adventure to none other than the North Pole. But never fear, because first we've got to make a pit stop somewhere that has some not-so-good spirits, if you catch my drift. Wintry nights are perfect for snuggling up in cozy blankets with a mug of decadent hot chocolate, for sharing the warmth of laughter with your loved ones under twinkling lights. The smell of freshly baked gingerbread cookies offers solace from the harsh winter chill outside. Although Christmas time conjures up these wholesome images of crackling fireplaces, sprinkles of snowflakes, and boughs of holly, the 12 days of Christmas started out as a ghastly affair in Central Europe, when ghouls, witches, and demons prowled the earth in search of a doomed soul to feast upon. It wasn't just the weather outside that was frightful. But before we get to the witches and ghouls, let's talk about the face of Christmas, Santa Claus. The jolly red man that inhabits chimneys is actually based on a real person. And no, Saint Nicholas wasn't born in the North Pole. He was the bishop of the ancient city of Myra, located in modern-day Turkey. As a kindly old priest, he made a habit of celebrating the birth of Jesus by providing gifts and money to needy children. In fact, Saint Nicholas was so generous that it's said that he gave away all his inherited fortune to the poor. He thus started the trend of gift-giving on Christmas, a tradition that remains intact to this very day. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. If you're looking for someone to blame for the holiday shopping traffic, Saint Nick is your guy. But Saint Nicholas was just as gallant as he was compassionate. Stories of him saving little boys from being cannibalized, women from being sold into slavery, and even quelling deadly storms at sea are widely told. But where's the terror in this, you might ask? Where are the condemned souls, the devils and demons? Well, for every hero, there must always exist an anti-hero, which is where the real story begins. The inspiration for Santa Claus was heavily drawn from Saint Nicholas and his good deeds. But what many don't know is that he had a devilish companion who was fittingly bequeathed the name Krampus. The name Krampus means claw in the beast's native German tongue. While Santa Claus oversaw the gifting of the good kids on Christmas, Krampus's job was even simpler: to devour the children who made it on the naughty list. In the dead of night, when all but the evil spirits sleep, there creeps a demon under your bed. The clip-clop of hooves, the slither of a forked tongue, the jingle of a not-so-merry bell. You open your eyes to pitch black. Were you imagining it all? The nightmare was so vivid, you find yourself panting. Your breathing finally slows. Even though you've calmed down, the sound of panting doesn't stop. A gust of air prickles your neck. As your eyes adjust to the darkness, you can make out the shape of a man standing in your peripheral vision. Or was that a goat? You reach out to touch it. Your hand is greeted with a sensation of fur. You open your mouth to scream, but it's too late. You're dragged into the depths of the underworld. Folktales like this are often grounded in morality, and the story of Krampus is no different. Although the legend of Krampus was initially recounted to children as a warning to behave and to instill in them virtuous qualities, Krampus quickly became a symbol for the preservation of Germany's cultural heritage. People often celebrated Christmas by dressing up as a demonic goat and chasing children and adults alike. Terrifying, isn't it? Krampus managed to creep a fair few people out. So much so that the Catholic Church attempted to banish all Krampus-related festivities back in the 12th century because of how closely he resembled the devil. Whoever was caught dressed in the diabolical garb of Krampus was subjected to the death penalty. But hold on a second. How did we go from the North Pole to Turkey to Germany and then back to the North Pole? It's a little confusing, but Santa's workshop is still safe on 123 Elf Road in the North Pole. Fun fact, the United States Postal Company has a wholesome little initiative called Operation Santa, where kids can send Santa letters and get one back. But Santa's migration to the North Pole goes back to the period between 1863 to 1886, when a cartoonist called Thomas Nast submitted a bunch of Christmas-themed caricatures to a magazine called Harper's Weekly. Before Thomas, Santa didn't have that portly, jovial look about him that we've come to know and love. And on that note, I'll leave you to relax because you must be super jet-lagged after our trip. Try to stay on the nice list until our paths cross again.